So in the next few minutes, and over the next few weeks, I want to speak to you about some of the great Bible themes, mainly creation, the fall, redemption, and the judgment. So I'm going to be doing the first day, the worst day, the best day, and the last day. When I speak, anyway, which is not every week, but when I speak, I'm going to be running through that until we start eating sort of Easterners. So if you want to have a look at Genesis chapter 1, we're going to start with the first day. Do you know what's always helpful? Should we just pray? Holy Spirit, we ask you to be the teacher this morning. And in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bring truth to our hearts, to reveal truth to us, to settle our hearts. Help us listen to you and not just me, Lord, and feed in our souls this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. What always helps me when I'm looking at Genesis, looking at early Genesis, you know, the origin of man, the origin of the universe, the origin of the earth, is to remember that Moses wrote it. It's very easy to become all fluffy and unclear and foggy with early Genesis, and without remembering that this is one of the five books of Moses. Moses wrote this or dictated it. That really helps me. That brings it away a lot closer than, oh, some tribe passed this story on to another tribe in somewhere in history, and people passed it on to someone else. There's a story that might have been changed. No, it isn't. It's revelation from Almighty God. This is how God said it started. Moses was told by God. Moses hadn't written a book, any of his five, until he'd been up that mountain with Almighty God. And in the presence of God, face to face with God, this is how God reveals the beginning. Is that helpful? Helpful to me. It's also helpful to me to remember that Jesus quoted it several times. For instance, he said, in one debate, he said, oh, it wasn't like that from the beginning. From the beginning of creation, he says, in Matthew. From the beginning, when God created man and woman, he quotes this. So Moses, believed this was exactly what God said. Jesus, believed it. Is that good enough for you? Good enough for me as well. If Moses believed it, then Jesus believed it. Guess what's accurate? This is. Always live with the Bible here, above you. Let God's word govern you and direct you. Not with the Bible here. I'm trying to be all scholarly and clever and dissecting us and choosing what you believe and what you don't believe. Let God be God. Because then life works, Christianity works. So here we are, reading the very beginning. He's the first day. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created them. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated it from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. There was evening, there was morning, the first day. Is that cool? That's the first day. Absolutely awesome. And I just want to, by way of introduction, just say two little things about the Holy Spirit there. How beautiful is straight away our awesome friend and teacher, the Holy Spirit, is working. In the first verses of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is moving, hovering, brooding. That's what that word means, those three things. He's hovering over the chaos. There's nothing happening, but the Holy Spirit is hovering like a kestrel with his eye, just waiting to move. That's what the Holy Spirit's like. He's always watching you. His eye is always upon you. Our God sees everything. And he's always hovering. He's never just still. Holy Spirit, you never read about the Holy Spirit being still ever. The Holy Spirit is a mover. He's always moving like the wind or like water or like a hovering bird, not of prayer, but a bird of blessing. Looking, waiting just for the perfect time to act. Or the Holy Spirit is brooding. That's what the word can also mean. Brooding over some eggs, you know, just loving them along, loving them along, like a good mother hen, loving them along until they're born, until they're lived, until they're looked after. That's how Jesus described his heart for Israel, wasn't it? I long for to gather you to me, under my wing, like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus says, I gather you under my wings. God's got wings. No, just to gather you under them, brood over you. So what the Spirit does, to make something happen, to bring order out of the chaos. And moving is what Paul mentioned. He said, the wind always moving. The wind is always moving. Or it wouldn't be wind, would it? Just be air, which is pretty boring. But God is always moving. If He's moving, what should you be doing? Moving. And you can only move with God if your sails are up, ready to catch its wind. That's the truth. Otherwise, you just go around in circles with your own little paddle, or you stay still, which is just death to a Christian. Keep moving. I've fallen down. Get up. I've got distracted. Get back. I've been drawn off the path. Find it again. Set your spiritual sat-nav for home. Boop. Turn left at the next turn. You'll be heading in the right direction. Move with God, because He's always moving, as He was right at the very, very, very beginning. Here's what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who created the heavens? God did. The psalm says, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's what they're saying. You know, if you could read their, if you could hear their speech, if you could read their writing, it would say right across the sky, glory to God. That's what clouds say. That's cloud language. Those big, massive clouds rolling up. They're awesome, aren't they? They're meant to say, if you have ears to hear, glory to God. If you get on a dark night and look up the stars and see the glory of God, or as you would read from Andrew, in the southern hemisphere, you get different stars, don't you? Or it's rather the other way or something. I've always noticed that. You're not aware that you notice where your own stars are. Do you know that? You know where your own stars are without you being aware. Until you go to the southern hemisphere and they're not there, woo, they're out the other way and you're, whoa! I haven't seen that sky before. Different stars are thrown away. The heavens, those stars, declare the glory of God. I was saying it in 61 the other night, that when we were younger, quite a few years ago, we used to do street witnessing to people in Yarm. People going on pub crawls in Yarm. Every Friday night, we'd be out talking to them, witnessing them, sharing Jesus with them. And one night, I remember there was this stag do, load of lads from Sunderland were down on the stag do, going from pub to pub. You know, pretty smart, but getting less smart the more drunk they get, you know, as everything hanging off them. And you know, we were having a good conversation with them, some good chats with them. And I said the other night, one of these guys, he let his mates go, and he said to me, you know, when I'm walking my dog on the beach at Sunderland early in the morning, and I see the sun coming up, I often think, there must be a God. There must be a God. He's reading it, right? That's what that's for. That's what that says. That's the unspoken message that's there all the time in creation. There is a God. Seek Him. Know Him. He's awesome. He's glorious. That's what creation does. And I said to him, do you know what, buddy? You are not far from the kingdom of God. You're right. There is a God. And if you cry out to Him on that beach, He'll speak back. And then run off for another drink. So God created the heavens and the earth. God created them, the jungles, the caves, the green hills in England, the deserts, the frozen wastelands. God created them. The forests, the grasslands, the mountains. God created them. Not an accident. Not aliens. No matter what Hollywood would tell us, no, God. God made the heavens and the earth. And here's some more good news. He made you. Just flick over the page there and look at Genesis 1, chapter verse 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. That's where you came from. Got any identity issues this morning? Let's get them solved straight away. You came from God. And that gives you purpose in life straight away. Because if you know who made you, you know why you made that, don't you? If you were made from God, you were made for God, weren't you? You can only find your purpose with him then, because you were made from him. You always have to go back to your origin just to suss out who you are, don't you? People try and find their family trees. Or, I must find my real dad. You found him, he's in heaven. God. God is your origin. God created man. And God gave you permission to be born. Do you know that? Do you think you'd be here if God didn't give you permission to be born? I mean, what's the odds of you sitting in this room this morning? Do you know how many people aren't born? In every little batch of sperm, sorry to get technical, in every little batch of sperm, there are up to 20 million little tadpoles. 20 million. In my particular batch, there was 20 million in me. There was this race, and only one of us could win. Only one of us could reach this egg. 20 million! I mean, it makes the London Marathon look a joke, doesn't it? And here's the good news about my race. I won! Come on! You wouldn't be here. Don't flatter yourself. You wouldn't be here. You're given many choices in life, but one of them you're not given is this, whether you're born or not. Some people who are very depressed get to the stage where they wish they'd never been born. Job in the Bible got that low. You can get that low. Job said, I curse the day of my birth. I wish I'd never been born. With me that low. I've never been here. But I tell you, here's the truth. You're not given that option. It's not for you to decide. God decides who's born. God decides that you should have life. And ultimately, Russell, good news. God decides how long that life is. And he can give you an extra 15 years just for the asking. Can't he? Like he did with Hezekiah. Like he's done with my own dad many times. Keep asking for another 15 years. If he keeps getting him another 15 years. I'm going to stop asking soon. Is he in? Yeah. No, oh, sorry, I didn't say that. And there's me speaking about tadpoles. Sorry. Anyway. Moving on. God created you in his image. Man and woman, he created them. That's interesting, isn't it? And men, funny ladies. Yes. I mean, the men, hilarious ladies. Yes. Guys, and women, absolutely a total mystery. And absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. But I'll tell you one thing about them. I'll tell you what men are like. God. I'll tell you what women are really like. They're like God. They're like God. And together, we really like God. In our image, we created them. He doesn't say that about the animals. The earth creates, he brings the animals out of the earth. Breathe yourself, if you want, in your time. He said, out of the earth will come the animals. Then he says, let us create man. In our image. Not evolution. Not let's create a blob and let's see what it turns out as. Let's see when it decides to fly. No, not an ounce of evolution. Creation. Total distinction between animals and men. Totally different. One made from the earth, the other made from God. Let us make man in our image. One of our kids was in school once. It was our geography. And the teacher was saying, you know, we all came from monkeys. He put his hand up and said, sir, you might have come from a monkey, but I was made in the image of God. The pinnacle of God's creation. That's what you are. That's what gives us value. God created you. It says he He knitted you together. He knitted on this. What's the plural for anyway? He did that in your mother's womb. Now, what should that say to you, even about your physical family? That it's easy to just despise yourself, isn't it? I'm not the right shape. I'm not the right height. I'm not the right. Stop it. God created you. God chose. He doesn't make mistakes. My nose is too big. Well, you know what? God might like that. God must like my nose. Made it massive. Do you know what? That's His choice. God knit you together in your mother's womb. That's what makes you unique. No one has your DNA. No one has your thumbprint. No one has your eyes. No one has your emotional makeup and personality. You are absolutely unique and valuable to God. There's only one of you. That's why it's so important that you find the purpose of God during your few years on this earth. And do it! And do it, because if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it. Not like you. They can't, because they're not you. God has a plan for you, and you've got to find Him and find it and do it to be fulfilled. That's what life is about. That's all that life is about. Know God, do His pleasure, live forever. Is there anything else? If you've got time, you've got the pictures as well. But they're the big things. God created you. Have you thanked Him lately just for life? Just for the gift of life? Thank you, God, for giving me the option of being on this planet for these years. Thank you for giving me the gift of life. Thank you for bringing me so close to Jesus already. Already you're a winner. Millions have never even heard His name or found Him. You're here today. You're the blessed of the blessed. God saved you and brought you in, most of you. And then God created. He created the heavens and the earth. He created you. And He created our escape route. Our way of escape. Here's a fascinating scripture, Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. Can I look if you want, but I'll just read it here. It just speaks of Jesus being the Lamb that was slain since the beginning of creation. The Lamb that was slain since the beginning of creation. Isn't that amazing? On day one, God had already created the escape route for when it went wrong. On day one. In the background, something else was going on. Decisions were being made. The Son of God was being asked if He'd come, if He'd sacrifice, if He'd die. And of course God knew it would all go wrong, but still gave us total freedom. But gave us total protection as well. And so gave us this awesome opportunity to be saved. God created the escape route in His Son. You know, you hear about the Holocaust. Our kids have been doing about the Holocaust as well in school today. Absolutely horrific. But just so typical of Satan. Satan's been destroying God's people since the beginning. And wanting to destroy. He wants to destroy everyone, doesn't he? And there's worse than a Holocaust. It's called hell. There's worse than a concentration camp. It's called hell. And Satan wants to pack everyone out of that train and get them all blasting on that train to destruction. And that's where people are. But you know what? Praise God. God's created another track with another train. The gospel train. The Jesus train. He has. And there's another train, and they run parallel at the moment. And any time you want to, you can switch trains. You can just switch tracks, jump across, and move from destruction and hell to heaven and God and life. That's your choice. A simple step of faith. I'm moving. I'm going across. And, you know, obviously those tracks don't keep together. They've got a very different destination. One's going down, the other's going to pull away and go up. The important thing is that you are on the right train at the right moment. That means now. You know, the day of salvation is now. The day to be healed is now. The day to worship God, you know, we will worship. Yeah, well, so we'll do it now, eh? Whatever we're going to do in heaven, should we do it now? No more pain. Well, let's have it now. Anyone want a few freebies first? Just get what's coming anyway. No pain now, no sin. Right, we'll have a bit of that. We'll overcome more and more and more despite all our weaknesses and failings.
We'll have more of heaven now, thank you very much. That's what being in the kingdom's all about. God created this amazing escape route for you. One of our pals who was a refugee seeking asylum over here, he had this big escape route. I'm sure this is pretty, very common to many of you. He hid under a lorry, escaped from Iran, and was seeking asylum in this country, hid under a lorry in France. And told us the graphic detail, the story of hanging on underneath this lorry. Can you imagine it? Hanging on, hidden, and waiting for, and then eventually the lorry got on the ferry, and he could put one of his legs down. And he thought there was no one around, one of his legs down. The cramp, the agony. But he was a survivor, you know? And he hit, when he hears someone coming, he just gets his leg back up and over himself. And then eventually the lorry started, they went off the ferries in England. He thought, great, I'm going to be able to get off. But he drove for 3 hours in England before he stopped. And it was raining, which is very unusual for England. And he's blasting along the motorway, and it's all filth and water and leaves up on this guy. He can't hold on anymore, he's about to die and give up. And the guy pulls into his petrol station. And our pal, beautiful guy, yes, gets off in shock, in agony, you know, probably, what's something they get too cold? Exactly. And he goes and sits in McDonald's, and he's covered in filth, and the police called him, said the police were really nice to him. They took him to one of the asylum seekers detention centers on the South Coast. He starts getting, he's a survivor, he survived. And he went to this beach one day, and different guys were on the beach from the centre, and they were swimming further out, coming back for the showing off, and he's a really good swimmer. So, you know, I'll show him how good I can swim. And he swims out. But you know what? There's weird tides, and this is the English Channel. And he gets pulled right out. And he turned round, and he got the shock of his life, how far away the beach was and the cliffs. And he starts swimming back, and starts swimming back with all his strength and all his might. He's not going anywhere. And then he said, this terrible sadness came over me. He knew he was going to die. He drowned, he was at the end of his strength. And he was just about to go under and die and give up. This terrible sadness, after I've survived all that, I sink anyway, I die anyway. It's overwhelming depression and sorrow. And just before he dies, he's this voice behind him. Mate, give us your hand. Give us your hand. Someone on the beach who knew the tides saw him swimming out, and they knew he's not coming back. And they ran. They made a call, and the coast guard and the little boat set out and came behind him to beat the tide and caught up with him. And he was so weak he couldn't even lift his hand up. Couldn't lift his hand up, and they reached out and grabbed him, sat him in. He said, oh, it's your lucky day, mate, isn't it? It's like, do you know something? You might be a big survivor in India. I'll get you anything. Got to divorce. I'll get through this. You did. But you'll die anyway without God. Without Jesus. Without taking all God's escape route. You'll sink anyway. After all that surviving, I went through this, I went through that. You'll die and go to hell without Jesus Christ if you're not born again. Just the fact. He did wonderful things in his life, but what does it mean, that God? Nothing. It's absolutely essential you take hold of the hand of Jesus and get into God's word and God's purposes now, while you can, and enjoy God's escape route that's cost God so much to see your need and make the call and send someone who's willing to die, who reaches out his hand to the cross and says, I'm right here. I'm sinking, there's no one here. I'm right behind you. Take my hand now. Boom, you're saved. Awesome. Our God's created an amazing escape route. Jesus is close to everyone, whether they're going to hell or heaven. Whatever they look like, whatever they're going through. And lastly, this, I'm still going to finish at 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock? Sorry. We're still going to finish at 12 o'clock. So don't worry. Lastly, you get really worried then, aren't you? It's going to be a very long last point. And God, Revelation chapter 21, verse Faz speaks about the new heaven and the new earth. Our God is a creator, isn't he creative? And he's still creating. He's still making stuff, he's still working, he's still doing it for us. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm going and I'm going to prepare a place for you disciples. Then I'm going to come back and take you so that you're with me where I am. Isn't it wonderful, Christianity? Doesn't Jesus love us so much? Right now, while he's away from us, he's thinking of us. He's thinking of his church, of all the millions, all the nations, and all church history. He's thinking of us all. He's preparing an awesome place for us all to be together. Fantastic. He's creating that right now. Jesus said in Revelation, behold, I make all things new. I've created it all. I'm creating it all again. I'm doing it all again, but better, without the sin, without the pain. It speaks about a new heaven. The heavens declare the glory of God, but there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The earth will be amazing, but there's going to be a new earth. I wonder what that's going to be like. The Lord, we're going to walk there. A new earth. We're going to walk there with God. God's going to live on the new earth with us. That's what the Bible says. Not just on carts, with harps, but a real city being created from us, coming down out of heaven, the new Jerusalem. It's awesome to have gone to the new Jerusalem, the normal Jerusalem, isn't it? But the new Jerusalem. Wow, what's that going to be like? Incredible, coming down out of heaven. And God's creating all the time. He's giving people new hearts. Would you like one? Would you like a new heart? God says, I will take out of you your heart of stone, and I will create in you a heart of flesh. Soft, warm, living heart. No matter how much your heart's been broken, God can create in you a brand new heart. That's an awesome thing. You yourself can become a brand new creation. Paul says religion is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. What matters is a new creation. It doesn't matter whether you're this church, that church, this denomination, that denomination, Jew, Gentile. It's irrelevant. What matters is this new creation. Have you been born again? Are you being created anew? Are you getting fitted out for this new place that Jesus is fitting out? You got to fit. The old stuff isn't coming with you. Sorry, not a pound in your bank account. Nor any of your hurts, hang-ups, problems, issues. None of that's coming, thank God. We're only going with a new life with God. And then we'll get new bodies as well. Isn't that wonderful? If I have the same size nose, I'm still going to rejoice. But you know what? It must be because God loves it. Because God created us and he's creating new bodies for us. If you're over 21, is that good news? Yeah. If you're anywhere over 21, you're looking forward to a new body. But bodies, with the grace of God, were meant to last a lifetime. And that's why we stand against sickness and cancer and all of these things. Because God can give us a long, strong life here for the astral. I believe that. As we continually get healed. That's how I personally have come to understand this. That you can live a long life, but only if you continue to get healed. You go to Jesus and keep receiving new life, keep receiving new life. Praise the Lord! God created the heavens, the earth, and us. We're not an accident. One atheist said, man is an accidental coincidence, living on a minor speck of interstellar dust. Isn't that enough to cheer you up? Next time you're down on Monday morning, just look in the mirror. You're an accidental coincidence. On a minor speck of it. The Bible says, he's dead wrong! God created us. God loves us. That's where we came from. That's where we're going. Let's stand up. We'll thank him. Now, listen to coffee.